Hebrews 13 is a very familiar scripture. We're not gonna do a review on all the things we've covered so far, but we've got just lots to say. We're gonna talk more about the power of God and about healing the sick and about you and I working miracles and helping other people get set free. So notice in this, you can get set free. I think last Wednesday we had people set free. And the week before we had somebody set free just sitting there listening. So you can get healed and set free anytime the word is preached. But particularly, this is not so you can get a miracle. It's so that you can give one. See the difference? So when we read the four Gospels and the book of Acts especially, you want to make sure you put yourself in the shoes of Jesus and the apostles sometimes, not just the sick people. So that you can be more efficient, more effective at praying for others. Every one of you believe in praying for other people, right? Yeah. Every one of you have prayed for other people. Yeah. What we're doing is just trying to fine-tune our skills so that we can actually get better results when we do pray. And technically, you don't see Jesus, neither Jesus nor the apostles prayed for sick people. Instead, they ministered to them. They gave them what they had. Peter and John started it. I mean, after Jesus, Peter and John said, "Silver and gold, I don't have it, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up." That's different than, "Okay, I'll pray for you." God, you follow me? Now, why am I making such a big deal about it? Because we need to see it. We need to recognize there's something under this layer of healing power. There's something about a revelation that you and I have of truth, of power, of the name, of authority, of the Lord working with her. There's something about this revelation under the surface that you and I have to have so that we're not feeble when we pray. And it's not something complex. I mean, even a kid can do it. Even a caveman, you know, even a caveman. Even a kid can do miracles in the house just by the simple revelation of, "Okay, Jesus, I'll lay hands. Okay, Jesus, I'll decide that mom doesn't have to be sick." How many times have we heard stories like that from children who just simply say, "Mom, you don't have to be sick. Here, let me pray for you," and they get healed. Hebrews chapter 13. But it takes this, you know, you got to work this out in your own soul. You and I, every one of us has to work this out in our mind, in our soul, in our heart, in our meditation time, in our thinking time, in our prayer time. We have to work this out in our soul. What do I mean by that? I mean, you have to make sure your soul believes it. We said Sunday that the fight of faith, the good fight of faith that we're supposed to fight, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is not to battle the devil. Isn't that right? The good fight of faith is not to battle the devil in circumstances. The good fight of faith is for you to believe God's word. The good fight of faith is to fight your doubts. The good fight of faith is fought up here. Or we could say internally, the good fight of faith is you convincing yourself. Faith is not about you convincing God to do something. Faith is about you convincing yourself. You got to work this out in your soul so that you believe. I know on the surface you believe. I'm about to read a scripture. You're going to say, "Yes, amen." But you got to fight to get that in you to where it changes you, to where the exclamation point hits you. Boom, I got it. Amen. Where you start looking funny. Yes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Sounds kind of boring if you read it like that. You know, we talk about what Jesus did. We read his miracles and we talk about Jesus working miracles, you know, in days of old. And then we talk about Jesus coming back. I mean, Christians are good at talking about what Jesus did and what Jesus is gonna do. Yesterday and tomorrow, we got that. We're good at that. We believe it 100%, don't we? What about today? Jesus worked miracles way back then. Man, he's coming on a white horse. Glory to God. But what about today? Can he do miracles today? It's almost like we forgot about today because it's harder. It's easy to believe history. It's easy to think something's going to happen good in the future. What about today? Can we believe God for today? Is anything going to happen tonight? Amen. Will anything happen to your life today? Amen. What about Jesus today? Yes. As soon as you can bring in your faith to today, all of a sudden now things become more probable. Hallelujah. My friend Angelo Metropoulos, okay, so he was a minister that I met in 1997, and he became my friend, my mentor. He let me work with him, my partner, and it was just a marvelous, you know, 10, 12 years, something like that, that I was with him. 13 years I was with him. And is that right? Yeah, 13 years. But here's one of his stories. Okay, so he was an evangelist. He was a street preacher. Then he started training churches and people and Christians to do the works of Jesus. But in the beginning, he was doing this outreach in Chicago. And he was taking some church people to this apartment complex. And he had this whole thing planned. He had hot dogs and he was grilling hot dogs and all this. And so he went out to this apartment complex and was going to preach the gospel, and, you know, in the hard part of Chicago, South Chicago, I think. And he went out there and he did his hot dog thing. And he said he fed the people their hot dogs. And then he got behind the podium. He started preaching the gospel. And he said, not one of them was listening to me. They got their hot dogs and they just all walked back to their apartments. He said, so first of all, you never feed them first. That's an easy one. But after a while, he changed that, but he was there for like a week. And so after a while, he realized, you know, this ain't working. You know, that something's going wrong. So he was fussing at God in the apartment, I mean, in the hotel. And he was complaining that God, you know, where are the miracles? Why aren't they listening to me? And then God gave him this revelation that really kind of, this simple revelation just changed his whole ministry. God told him this. He said, I'm the God of the now. I save now, I heal now, I deliver now. I'm the God of the now. Sounds kind of elementary and simple, but when God speaks it to your heart, it'll change you. Okay, you don't have to get in the same exact conversation as my friend Angelo, but you need the same revelation. When you read the Bible, it's supposed to happen. I said, when you read the Bible and believe it and do it, it's supposed to happen just like he said it would. Now, you got to know my story was when I came back to the kingdom of God, I came in very, very greenish, rookie, baby. However, I knew some things about God. I knew that the healing power of God was real because I had been healed as a child. I had seen a couple miracles in my life as a child with mom praying, then once with me. Instant miracles, like instant prayed power, something happened. And so when I came back to the Lord, I'm thinking, well, yep, that's part of this. That's a big part of this, that I'm going to join up with the crew that believes this. And so I started reading the Bible and I'm like, yep, boom, there it is. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Boom, look at all the miracles. Yes, yes. And so I started doing it. Now, I wasn't in a church. I had never seen a Christian in church pray for somebody and it not work. Because I'd never been in a church service where people got prayed for. I had never been amongst Christians that did a lot of praying with no results. Sure, I had seen a lot of, y'all pray for so-and-so, you know, they go, y'all pray for so-and-so, y'all, everybody remember to pray for so-and-so. I heard a lot of that, but I'd never seen a Christian try to really pray for somebody to get well and them not get well. I'd never seen the attempt, and I'd never seen the failure. So as I'm reading the Bible, I'm just thinking, yep, okay, all right. Okay, Jesus, I'll do it. I'll lay hands on the next sick person I see. Now this is after I got filled with the Spirit, you know, that's part of the story. I knew if I needed to be filled with the Spirit and power before I started this. But as soon as I got filled with the Spirit and power, I thought, I'll do it. So I was waiting for the sick people. I was looking for demons, looking for sick people. Okay, I got to start this thing. And so I started laying hands, started praying for the sick, started helping people get set free. And instantly, they started getting set free. I mean, it was marvelous. And I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. And you've heard the rest of the story. It was so marvelous that the word got out and I got kicked out of the other church. The Baptist church said, no, we're not going to allow that around here. But for me, it was really wonderful. Every person seemed to get well instantly. I remember one person, it was somebody's mother in a house, and they're like, Mom's sick. And I thought, I'll go help. I think what you're saying is you want me to pray. They said, yeah. So I went and prayed for Mom, and within 5 minutes, she's up. She's saying, man, there's something special there. Just healed of a sickness, a fever, or something like that. And in my mind, I'm thinking this is normal. Amen. I'm thinking, yeah. Okay. Now, I could tell that most people weren't familiar with this. Well, I had been listening to some cassette tapes from a preacher that a lot of people don't like, still don't like. But I'd been listening to these cassette tapes, and it's the thing that fired me up. It's the thing that alerted me that this is a whole new kingdom to live in. This is a whole new way of life. And somebody else has it too. And that person was Kenneth Copeland. And so at the time, I thought that Kenneth Copeland and I were the only ones that knew this stuff. I'd never heard anybody else. And I certainly wasn't seeing it in the immediate vicinity. I thought, he needs help telling this truth and helping people get well. I mean, I'm about 30 years too late, but I didn't know that at the time. I just thought, he needs help. I'll join up. Meaning join up in the ministry. The point is, I didn't have any disappointments and failures to rob me of my faith. So you have to be careful of that. Right. And even though now, of course, I've been in the gospel a long time, and I've seen a whole bunch of people get prayed for that didn't get answers, now I have to believe the Bible in spite of it all. So don't you ever let a disappointment or a discouragement or some other person's failure or some of your own failures rob you of your hope and your faith and your joy and your power. You just kick it in the teeth and move on. Kick it in the teeth, try to learn a little bit from it and move on. Matter of fact, when I got into the healing ministry, I remember having this conversation with God. And it was something like, Lord, I realize, I've heard enough stories from preachers, I realize that not everybody I pray for is going to get well. It's going to be disappointing. But I'm willing to do it anyway. I'm willing to preach it with all my heart. I'm willing to pray for every sick person. I'm willing to go for it and do everything you've called me to do, regardless of how perfect everything turns out. Okay? You need some resolve like this. You really need some resolve like this so that you don't drift backwards into not expecting miracles. And this is where most of the Spirit-filled churches have had to fight themselves or fight through the tendency to not really expect much. You have a prayer line, people come up for prayer. That's not how we do it here. You come like that, we're going to help you expect a miracle. Because the person praying is expecting a miracle. So crank your expector up and let's get one. Then I got into my first spirit-filled church. And I saw a lot of praying for the people at front. And some people would fall and sometimes they wouldn't. And sometimes they would fall and sometimes they wouldn't. But I never saw anybody have a result. It was like, pray and don't ask. And then Angelo Metropolis comes to my church, first time I meet him. And he stands at the front and he calls out people for various things. He says, come down here and I'll pray for you. And there was two ladies in the church that I knew personally. One had arthritis in her whole body and she walked around like this in the church. I had known her for several months. She was kind of like this in the church. She comes up, he commands the spirit of arthritis to come out of her, and she runs around the building very fast. I said, I knew it could happen. A second lady that night that I knew had cancer, I was friends with her, she had breast cancer, she comes up, he curses the cancer, he says, go to the bathroom and check yourself. She comes back from the bathroom, says, there's no more lump. I said, that's it, I knew it. I knew this was real. I knew that this is the ministry of Jesus. I knew that we could trust the word of God just like that. It was like he stood at the front and he made the miracle happen. Amen. None of this, let's just take it by faith. None of this, go on and believe God. None of this uncertainty. It was, come out now. And he stayed. And lots of stuff happened. I was so excited. I had just left my career to join up this church and volunteer and be in the ministry. That next morning, I think it was a Saturday morning, I was on my computer making flyers. Come see devils come out of people. Casting out demons, healing the sick, come see miracles. And I printed about 1,000 of them and I wouldn't put them on cars in every parking lot around the area. That's the end of my story, nobody came, but I was convinced. Right. I was convinced. That began my flyer ministry. Hey, when you can beat 1,000,000 flyers, you let me know. The only people that do that kind of stuff are those that are convinced. That same weekend, I heard Angelo Metropolis tell the story that he touched 1,000,000 people with the gospel in Chicago in one summer. I thought, that's it, man. This guy believes it. I believe it too. He believes it all the way. I believe it too. You need some people in your life like that believe it all the way. I'm not playing games. The way we do this church here, we're not playing games. This is not just some religious organization on a campus. Praise the Lord for the new campus. This is it. This is who we are, man. We're sold out. Glory. You need to sell out to the scripture. Sell out to just one word from God. Sell out to it. I mean, decide it's for me. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Glory to God. My friend Angelo tells one of his first encounters. He was at a meeting it was here in Houston. I think it might have been John Osteen's meeting, but there were several preachers that you might know the names of. And Angelo had been in the ministry for a while. He used to cook for Brother Hagin. He used to drive Norval Hayes around. I mean, he was in. And so he'd been all these conventions. He worked the tape table for Norval Hayes. He was around everybody. And he said he was at this convention, and it was several days into it, several preachers and teachers had come. And so Angelo was in the back in this particular afternoon, and he's like, I'll just sit in the back. They're just going to teach some things probably I've already heard before. And he said, I'll just get my little notepad out, and I'll just get ready to take some notes. And he said he wasn't real inspired. It was some new preacher coming up, and he didn't know who it was. He had never heard of this preacher. And so he gets up there, this new preacher, and starts preaching the gospel. And he said, within 5 minutes, I was in the front row. The preacher was R.W. Shambach. Now, some of you know him, some of you don't. It doesn't really matter necessarily, but Brother Shambach believed the scripture. And so Brother Shambach would pray for the sick and actually expect miracles. And that particular meeting, they brought somebody in on a stretcher who had a back injury. Brother Shambach pulled him up to sit up in the on the stretcher, and he slapped him in the back in the name of Jesus. The man jumps up, runs around the building. That changed Angelo's life. You need some moments like this where it blasts through your doubts and uncertainties into a new realm that it shows you that things are possible and hopeful. Now you got to get there. You got to live there. You got to believe it. And when we're talking about praying for the sick and all these things we've been teaching this summer, put it all together in one moment where you know it's about to happen. And I'm not going to put up with this demon anymore. I'm not going to put up with this sickness anymore. And I'm going to help you get free from your pain right now. Right now, it doesn't belong in your body. Right now, pain and sickness does not belong in you. It does not belong in your body. That's your dirt. You have authority over all the earth. It's your dirt. Get the weeds out. Okay, Acts chapter 8. And listen, hey, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to do the works of Jesus. It takes somebody leaving the building tonight and practicing tomorrow. We taught some of these things years ago here at the church, and we had a dear sister. She's in heaven now, but she had never done this before. She was with the mail lady. The mail lady begins to complain about a shoulder problem. And this sister grabs her arm and says, well, our pastor at church has been teaching us how to do this in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the male lady said, maybe she touched her so much. She says, you touched me right where the pain was and now it's all gone. And she had yanked her arm up. She said, I didn't know what I was doing. I just yanked her arm up. It's not hard. You just got to be simple. You just got to be simple and you got to do it. You got to do it with a big smile on your face, expecting something to happen. And if nothing happens, you just sit there. Amen. And you sit there till the power comes. That's part of what we're doing here. We're just trying to help you realize how it works. I mean, you got to stick it out sometimes. Jesus cast the demon out one time. It took an hour before it left. Have you ever stayed there for an hour? Have you ever laid hands and expected and just said, we'll stick it out? However long it takes, we'll just stick it out until it happens. Right now, it's happening right now. As soon as the unseen world sees that you're determined, bam, the unseen world goes nuts. God gets on your side, the devil leaves. As soon as the unseen world sees that you've decided, as soon as the unseen world, the angels, the demons, God, the Holy Spirit, Satan himself, as soon as the unseen world recognizes you have made your final decision, it obeys. That's why the angels are watching over God's word to perform it. As soon as somebody believes God's word, boom, now I can perform it. So you need a resolve about this. Okay, Acts chapter 8. This is Philip. We're going to go through the several steps to the encounter. In a couple of weeks, we'll do them all together. But I want to get you started here on the first few steps. Let's say you encounter somebody that could possibly need a miracle. What do you do? What's going on the inside of you? What do you do on the outside? What conversation needs to happen? What's the first few steps that you might need to take? All right? So now we're going from theory and getting you fired up on the spiritual theological side so that you can say yes to God's word and step out in faith and do something. Now here's the something. When you encounter the sick person, we've got 12. I don't know, we got a lot of steps. And they're not so that you can go, now what was step number 3? Oh my gosh, I can't pray for the person. I don't know what step number 3 was. No, it's to help you flow with the Holy Spirit. All of this must be led by the Holy Spirit to a large degree. You're always open to the Holy Spirit so that you can do things right, say things right, not say it when it doesn't need to be said, run off whenever it's wrong. I mean, we have command that says, shake the dust off your feet if they don't receive you. So if you're arguing with somebody about healing, you have already missed your window of opportunity to run. I see you're all enthused about it. Welcome via live stream if you're watching via live stream. Do we need to take a little break here before we... Okay. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now this is when the saints were scattered from Jerusalem because Paul was killing them. So they scattered. Verse 4. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. So here you got Philip the deacon, got pushed out of Jerusalem because of the persecution, and just decided, I'm going to Samaria and preach Christ to him. Now, there are several things in there that I won't talk about all of it, but notice the whole result was great joy in the city. After people saw the miracles, there's great joy. And that's typically the reaction. That's what it's supposed to be, the reaction. But notice first of all here that Philip preached Christ to them. One of the steps in your encounter with people is you're going to have to plant a seed. You follow me? You're talking with somebody, you're noticing somebody, you're going to have to plant a seed in them. Here he preached Christ. You need to preach something to them. What does that mean? That means tell them something. What you tell them is going to be important. You follow me? If you don't plant a seed, then there is no harvest. Isn't that right? You want a crop of corn, you got to plant kernels. You want a tree to grow, you got to plant. You want a miracle? You have to plant a seed. You follow me? If you don't say something, not going to be a miracle. You don't tell them something, don't expect anything. And notice what this is. You're telling them something. He preached Christ. He told them of Christ. Follow me? And then he worked miracles. That's why all preachers preach. Skip over here to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. This is the eunuch. Maybe I'll set this up. The eunuch was reading the Old Testament scriptures and he was confused a bit. Philip joined him. And the eunuch said, help me out here. So Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, and preached Jesus to him. Now they went down the road and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and he baptized him. So what happened here? The man got saved. What happened here? The eunuch believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got baptized in water to prove it, and was gloriously saved. Hallelujah. The result was salvation. The harvest was salvation. The seed was what? What did he preach to him? What did Philip preach to him? Verse 35, Philip preached Jesus to him. Jesus, Joshua, the Savior. He preached Jesus to him and the man got saved. Over here it says he preached Christ to him, to the city. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Is that the same thing? Is preaching Jesus the same thing as preaching Christ? Why would the Holy Spirit leave out? Why wouldn't he just say Jesus Christ in both of these? We just got too deep, I know. Listen, the specification of the seed determines the miracle. Preaching Jesus, which is Joshua in the Old Testament, Savior, helps people get saved. Preaching Christ is a different vein. Christ means anointed. Creo, it's where we get the word charisma or charis for gift, for anointing, for Holy Spirit. When you say Christ, you're referring to the anointed side. The power side. Anointed with what? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So when you say Christ, you're talking about the anointing part, the power part.
Thank you, Lord.
So when he preached to the city, he was preaching the power stuff.
And that's what happened.
And then the multitudes heeded those things, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You follow me? Now, I'm not trying to make this so technical that when you're talking to somebody, you're thinking, should I say Jesus or should I say Jesus Christ or what? No, this is just to point out the fact that what you say matters. What you say matters to people. And what you say could be very simple. It could be a little bit complex. Some people like to teach a whole lot. But really, that's not necessary for a miracle. You don't need to sit there and give somebody an hour-long lesson. You just need to tell them something. When somebody's come to be prayed for, or when you're in encountering someone, you don't need to go through a whole lot, usually. You just need to follow some simple steps. But planting the seed is very vital. Tell them what? Jesus is going to heal you right now. That's a seed. Boom. If you tell them that, all of a sudden there's a chance for a miracle. And if it doesn't look like it takes, then you rate. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Jesus Christ heals sick people and he loves you. And he's going to heal you right now. Are you ready? Y'all sure are getting quiet on me. Turn to Mark chapter 16. We've done this at we've done this out on the streets before, and what I used to teach the teams was, if you run into somebody that's sick, talk to them about getting healed, and if they want you to pray, go ahead and minister healing to them. If they're a little uncertain, and you can tell they don't really believe what you're saying, then plant this seed in them, okay? And the seed I would tell them to plant is, hey, that lady over there or me or whoever, I would just pick another teammate, tell the sick person, that person over there prays for sick people and they get welled. Go see them. See what I'm doing? I'm helping the seed get in there for them to have some hope that somebody can help them. The goal is not for me to convince you to let me pray. Just let me pray for you. Just let me pray for you. Just let me pray for you. That's not the right seed. Neither is, I'll give your prayer request to all the people I know. That's not a seed for a miracle.
Right, right. Preach it.
What you're doing is you're trying to encourage them that you care and that there are people that care, but you're not going to get miracles that way. David, are they mad at me yet for saying that? I'm trying to get us out of our old, traditional, Christian, ineffective ways into the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Plant a seed, tell them what's about to happen. Follow the Holy Spirit in it, but tell them, I'm about to lay hands on you. When I do, the power of God's going to touch you and God's going to heal you. I'm about to say something, and when I say it, it's over. Or you just simply say, Jesus Christ heals you today. You know, every time you say Jesus loves you, that's a good start. How many times have you talked to somebody and said, well, God loves you? Well, add some more seed and he will deliver you now. See, now all of a sudden I'm bringing my faith onto the edge and I'm bringing them to the edge. Now we have a chance for an instant miracle. It'll take some time for you to believe me. I understand. We have a friend who's a pastor, and he was at the grocery store, and he met somebody that had a deaf ear or was totally deaf. I can't recall. Could have been totally deaf. And somehow he communicated that Jesus would heal her. She didn't believe him. He said, I bet you that if you come to church tonight, God will heal you. And I'll bet you $100. She came to church. She got totally healed.
Hallelujah.
In both ears.
Hallelujah.
And he won the bet. How did that work? Should you do that? He used the principle. Hey, if you're led by the Spirit, you can do anything. He used the principle. We don't believe in gambling. The point is, he revealed an absolute confidence. And when you say it with absolute confidence, there's a chance that seed can get in somebody and God can work with it.
Hallelujah. Good. Good, Pastor.
Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Let's read verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14. This is the end. Jesus is about to go to heaven. He's talking to his disciples. Half of them didn't believe. We know Thomas didn't believe. Verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Here's the final words. He's rebuking them. Shouldn't he be telling them how proud he is of them? The way we preach today is like, I'm so pleased with all of you. No, he rebuked them. I can't see anybody's eyeballs. Everybody's looking down. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked them for not believing their friends. He rebuked them for not believing another human. He rebuked them for not believing another preacher. People get in this thing where they think they'll believe the Bible, but they're not going to believe it. No, God has always chosen people to preach to other people. He wants you to believe the message from other people as long as the Holy Spirit says it's okay. He just designed it this way. So for a sick person to get healed, they're going to have to believe what you're saying.
Right.
Don't underestimate that. They need to believe what you're saying.
Amen.
If you believe it and they believe it, I guarantee something's about to happen. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. Now this got everybody. Everybody's in this verse 17, right? Every single one of us in here, because we believe. These signs will follow you who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Therefore, you're supposed to cast out demons. He didn't say these signs will follow my favorite 11 disciples. He said, tell everybody, and if they believe, these signs are going to follow them. They will speak with new tongues. Nobody gets out of tongue talking. Really, nobody gets out of it with other stuff like, well, you know, I guess I didn't get that part. That's a little misunderstood. I don't know if I want that. No, no, he said, if you're a believer, you're going to talk in tongues. So you just go ahead and decide you're going to talk in tongues. I bet you start talking in tongues. If you quit being so hesitant about it, you'll just get it. Otherwise, you might as well go back up to verse 14 and he'll rebuke you for your hardness of heart and your unbelief. Jesus loves me when I preach like this. I'm telling you, he loves it when we preach like this. He loves it when we act like it's true. Jesus loves it when we act like he said what he meant and meant what he said without all your faculty, your reasoning faculties. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. They will recover. Just be real sold out. They will, they will, they will, they will. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and argued about, no. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Wow. King James says, confirming the word with signs following. What did he confirm? What does the Lord Jesus Christ confirm? The words you say. You get into faith, you minister on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will confirm what you say with signs following. What you say matters. Don't say too much. Don't start doing your religious speak when you pray for people. Oh, now, Lord, oh, Father God, thou art most... Don't do that. Do that in your own prayer time, not when you're ministering to somebody. Don't start your rehearsal of everything you know about healing. You're supposed to have that rolling on the inside of you already. And now we're going to use that. Got it? Plant a seed. Tell somebody a truth. Here's an example. Did you know that Jesus died on the cross, not just for your sins, but also for your sicknesses? Oh, I didn't know that. He did. He died for your sicknesses, so therefore you don't have to be sick. Do you want me to pray for you? In the name of Jesus, be healed. And then you sit there. And if you're touching him, you leave your hand there. And if you're pointing at him, you leave your finger pointed. And you expect it. That's just an example. That's just a few steps right there. We've got about 12 steps that you might have to notice or go through. So we'll get to the steps later, but I wanted to give you this very important piece of the puzzle that you have to plant a seed. Hallelujah. Is everybody happy about it? Has everybody got it? Can everybody do it? Only those who believe can do this kind of stuff. How many of you believe this with all your heart? Think I got everybody? How many of you want to believe it with all your heart and you're trying real hard? Spend a little time on it. Think about it. Go through it a bit. Read a few scriptures. Tell yourself to go ahead and just jump in there. Meditate on it. Get it. Let the Lord work it out with you. And then be real bold and say, give me somebody tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready for that, Pastor. Hey, listen. Listen, here's your final tip for tonight. If you get with somebody who needs a miracle and you're not feeling real sure, you don't think you have the faith to do it, you're a little uncertain, simply tell them, come to my church. We got these people on the front row. And man, when they pray for the sick, or pick the back row. We got this guy that sits on the back row. We got this guy that sits on the back row right back there. And he prays for the sick and people get healed. You find a way to get them. You plant a seed in them so that they're on their way in preparation. So what happens? Seed goes in, and then 3 days later, that seed's growing, and that person's thinking, they said that if it didn't work with the doctors, it'd just come on to church, and I could be healed. I think I might try that, honey. And all of a sudden, that thing's sprouting and growing, and all of a sudden, they might come. Miracle might happen. See how this works?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.